Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled The Heart of Easter. If you would like more information about our podcasts or North Valley Church, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Jesus is alive. Yep. Okay. Everybody take a breath. Sip your coffee. Jesus is alive. Yet one more time, I want to do it enough so that the kids were wondering, what the heck? Jesus is alive. All right. 1,989 years ago, Jesus walked out of the tomb. When he did that, he transformed human history for the rest of eternity. He changed everything when he walked out of the tomb. It is why we are here. It is the foundation of what we think, what we believe, why we even are here at church. I mean, if Jesus hadn't walked out of the tomb, we wouldn't have chocolate Easter bunnies. If Jesus hadn't walked out of the tomb, there'd be no reason to have an Easter egg hunt. If Jesus hadn't walked out of the tomb, we wouldn't have church. We would have no reason for being here, because the mega reason we are here is because Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross on Good Friday, and 3 days later, he rose up from the dead and walked out of the tomb. Now, you can look at the historical evidences and see that that happened. Ultimately, at some point, we are all going to be asked to, how did you respond to the idea, to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth rose out of the tomb? It is the foundation of everything we do as a church community. And to be honest, it's why we're here today. That's why some of us dressed up, right? Working the tie. I've seen lots of pretty dresses today. It is the reason for the season. We don't say that here, but it is. I just want to affirm what it is that we believe in, the facts of what we know, the story. Well, I'm going to read this from the book of Matthew. Matthew 28, chapter 1, it says, after the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So just so that we track, when the writer Matthew writes after the Sabbath, he means Saturday. For Jews, the Sabbath is on Saturday. So Jesus is crucified on a Friday. Saturday, they don't do a whole lot. They chillax on the Sabbath. And then the following day, which would be Sunday. Well done. Thanks for tracking. Carrying on in verse 2. There was a violent earthquake. So when you read into it, it's not like the earth opened up to do anything, but there was a violent earthquake when Jesus walked out of the tomb. God just wants to make a little drama, right? This is a big deal. Hey, everybody, this is the big deal. And he shakes the earth. He's just increasing the level of excitement. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I've seen paintings of this. It's a funny, this is a fun, some of this story is just hilarious to me. So this angel, and then he just goes and sits on top of the stone. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, killing time. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid in Bucky's Town, there was a stone wall in front of the Methodist Church. And I think there still is if you drive by Bucky's Town. And that's what we would do. We would sit on the stone wall and watch the cars drive by. It's always the angel. Okay. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The dude, glue. He was glowing. How cool is that? It's like you would separate him in a crowd. You could pick him out in the lineup. The guy who's glowing, that was the angel, right? Easy. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men, right? When you're terrified, when you're that afraid, there's a thing that triggers inside of us to respond to fear, fight, flight, or freeze. These guys froze. So they're all just, poof, they can't move. They're scared out of their wits. The women are walking up and they witness all this craziness. In verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus." Don't be afraid, right? Think about it. The guards were terrified and just laying like dead men, playing possum or whatever. And so he recognizes this is for humans. This is a fearful moment. I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Ooh. Just as he said. Y'all are spellbound by my reading of the story. I know. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. Mute me, Ben James. For those of you on our listening audience, I just coughed. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And here, the Bible is full of punchlines. Here is one of the funniest lines in the resurrection story. And the angel says, now, I've told you. Right, what's he saying? I was sent here so that I could roll away the stone, Jesus would walk out, and I need to hang out here on the stone till you guys walk up and see me here, la-da-da-da-da, tell you what happened. I've told you that he's risen from the dead. I can go now. Right? It's hilarious. He was given a task to do, and he did it. I love it. Verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, still a terrifying moment, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Jesus rose from the dead. It's recorded in a document that is historically reliable. If you need some evidence to back up that statement, please talk to me after the service. I can fix you up. But for all the historical evidences that we have, this really happened. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And he walked the earth for 40 days. He was here. It really happened. That is the foundation of our faith. That Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. There's one of my favorite professors at Liberty University used to say his tact for sharing his faith with other people was he started with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if you can't disprove it, and I don't think you can, you are now in a place where I need to respond to it. And as you dig back to it, it becomes an unexplainable miracle. And now I have to respond to it. I have to do something. This guy just walked out of a tomb. What does that mean to me? What did he say? Curtis, if I could have the next slide. The fact that Easter happened is, in my opinion, an absolutely defendable piece of history. But my sermon series that we have been walking through for a couple of weeks is called The Heart of Easter. I want us to not just go, Jesus is alive, yay, let's go eat some of Jim and Patty's ham and turkey. I would like to be able to wrestle with the question, why? If Jesus went through all that stuff, died on the cross, rose from the dead, cool, why did that happen? What is the heart behind the act that Jesus did? And I think that matters. Our motives, the heart behind what it is that we're doing, matters. If any of y'all follow news at all, you may have noticed that there's some DA in New York who has decided to press charges on Donald Trump. Whether you are a fan of Trump or not, I'm just acknowledging, man, the news folks are wrestling with what the heck is going on. The DA is within his legal rights to do that. He can do that, but there are plenty of people questioning his motives. He really working to defend the safety of the people in New York, or are there political motivations behind what he's doing? However you answer the question, it matters. It's not just the fact of what he's doing. We want to wrestle with the question, why is he doing it? What's his heart behind it? Right, something that I'm guilty of with my wife is not doing really good at apologies. Right? I'll do something incorrect. Okay, yeah, I left the garbage too long. You're right. I'm past due taking it out. I'm sorry. Anybody here ever apologize to their spouse that way? Or am I the only one? Okay, good. I got two honest guys. Okay. I'm sorry I did that. And Millie will check it out. Nope. Go back and try again. Your apology is not acceptable. I apologize. I did all the stuff. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But it doesn't count because my heart's not in the right place, does it? Our heart matters. Our heart matters. Maybe you can think of things where I'm going through the motions, but it just doesn't feel right. There's something disjointed that's not connected to my actions and my heart, and it feels yucky. We see it in ourselves. When we see it in other people, we know it. Your heart's not in this. Our motivation matters. That's why I want to just take a few more minutes and talk about what was Jesus's motivation to come and die on a cross and rise from the dead. What was behind that? It starts with the idea that God loves us. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him and shall not perish, but have eternal life. Common verse that we say on all that. We will talk about the have eternal life part a little bit in a few more minutes, but I want to hang out on love for a minute, that God loved the world. God loved everybody. And when John says love there, behind the scenes, there's a couple of different Greek words that mean love. When we say love, we have no idea what it means, right? I love chocolate. I love Millie. I love my church. All very three different kinds of love, right? They don't mean the same thing, but we use the word love. When John writes love, he is behind the scenes, there's a Greek word agape, which means a godly kind of love. That kind of love means I am going to work for your good. When I love my church, it's I am going to do what I can for your good, for your benefit. It's not going to be about me and what I can get out of it. I'm going to do it for you. That's what God kind of love looks like. And so as you think about the idea of that God loves us and that he cares about us, and he had a plan, he's got a plan, right? Jesus didn't come down here by accident. He came down because the Father sent him. There's a plan in place for us. And God loves us and he cares about us. God loves us and he has a plan. He's got a purpose. Things aren't happening randomly. There's a purpose and intention by what's going on in our lives, right? The universe. The universe didn't come to being by random accident. Life didn't happen because a handful of molecules were able to line up in just the right way and make the first strand of RNA, it's statistically impossible. Things don't happen by accident. They're not random. You are not here by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for you, and he's drawn you into here because he loves you. God loves you, and unfortunately, who we are and the choices we make separate us from God. In Psalm 53, it says, everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So we have a God who loves us, and he wants a relationship with us. The problem is we have a tendency to choose away from his will. And when we choose away from his will, that's what the Bible calls sin. We have a propensity to do that. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the impacts of our sin. When we sin, when we work and act outside of God's will, it separates us spiritually from God. It creates separation. When you see that sin is death, that's part of one of the ways it kills us, is it separates us from the creator of the universe. Not only does it separate us spiritually from God, but it also has the potential to make it eternal. That our death can be eternal and we can be eternally separated from God. All of those are a consequence of our sin. All of our sin. I appreciate the word everyone. Everyone. There's none of us who are able to go up and go, okay, I got this together. I can work my way to God. I'm going to be a good person. Not a fan of trying to be a good person. Good person doesn't gain you anything. It's not going to get you into heaven. There aren't scales. God's not going to weigh your good deeds versus bad deeds. You're going to get into heaven by who you know. And those of us who know who Jesus Christ is are going to resolve our sin problem. In fact, that's actually why Jesus came to the planet. Jesus was sent by God to make a way. God's demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're here on Easter Sunday. Woohoo! But a couple of days ago was Good Friday. Woohoo! It's an awkward thing to go woohoo about. While we nailed Jesus on the cross. Yay, us! But it was part of the plan. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross for my sins, I would remain separated from God. And again, it didn't happen by accident. It happened because God the Father sent the Son to die on the cross to resolve our sin problem, the sin problem that we've all got. I want you to hang out for a moment. God's got a plan. He has a purpose. He wants a relationship with us. And he sent his Son to resolve our issues so that we could pursue that relationship. God is pursuing you. It's not about trying to find a way to find God. It's not about trying to work yourself into a place where you can have a relationship. He's pursuing you. He wants to know who you are. He actually knows. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be able to walk with you. He wants to be able to talk about your struggles, your successes. He wants to celebrate with you. He wants to mourn with you. He wants a relationship, and he is pursuing us. He sent his Son so that we could have that opportunity. It's the mechanics of how what's going on here. That is the heart behind what we're doing. If we can put all those puzzle pieces together, we come to what was actually demonstrated today. 1,989 years ago. It is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. We are saved through faith. Our resolution, this forgiveness that God is offering us, happens through faith. It would be really awesome, groovy, cool if we could just do a scientific litmus test. This, and then this happened. I know that there's God, and I'm okay now, and that's okay. But you know what? God made it so that we can't do that. We would like to be able to run through a scientific formula and go, ah, ta-da, God. God did not do that, and he did it on purpose. Because if we did that, we would all just go, oh, okay, there's a God. All right, yeah. And that's not what he wants. What he wants is a trusting relationship. Yes, I think the historical evidence absolutely points to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth walked out of the tomb almost 2,000 years ago. However, you still got to come to terms with a dude walked out of the tomb after he was dead. Right? There's not a TikTok video for that. If there was, you shouldn't watch it anyway. There's not an Instagram reel of, here I am! Right? That's what we want. We can't believe it unless we see it on TikTok or Instagram. What God left was room for us to have to trust him. That's really what he wants. He wants us to trust him. That's part of a relationship. It's like the key piece of building a relationship with each other. It's a key piece in our relationship with God. At some point, I need to say, okay, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how dead people rise up and walk out of tombs, but I trust that it did, and I trust you. And I'm going to enter into a relationship with you. That's the heart behind Easter. Curtis, if you would please, next slide. The heart behind Easter is that we're loved by God, that he cares about us. He has a plan to draw us to himself. He has a plan for our life, and he's working with purpose in bringing those things about. We are separated from God because of our tendency and propensity to choose things away from him. Jesus was sent by God so that he could implement the plan of salvation and plant his church. In a couple of weeks, I'll be doing the introduction to the book of John, and we'll be talking about all that stuff. You want to tune in for that. And when Jesus died on the cross and demonstrated that he indeed has power over sin and death and walked out of the tomb, and we put our faith and trust in that, we get to receive that saved by God part. In short, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and died on a cross to do the thing we couldn't do for ourselves, pay the price for our sins. If you've never come to terms with that before, man, think about where you are and what you do and how it separates you from a righteous and just God. But he opened up a door so that that relationship can be healed. When he sent Jesus, we can put our faith and trust in the work that he's done on the cross instead of relying on my own. And at some point, maybe you're able to go, maybe your story is, oh yeah, I made that decision one day. I didn't. I heard this kind of stuff from a pastor. And then eventually, I was like, okay, I'm going to give Jesus a try. I test drove Jesus for 4 months. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start doing things his way. Okay. At the end of 4 months, I'm like, okay, hey, you know what? This works. This makes a difference in my life. I'm going to really officially put my faith and trust in him. And I haven't turned back since, nor have I regretted it. Maybe that's what you need to wrestle with today. That maybe you just need to find a way to inch into trusting who Jesus Christ is. And the fact that he rose from the dead moves us to a place where I have to come to terms with what happened. It really happened 2,000 years ago. How am I responding to that? If you've never done that before today, may I encourage you, take the opportunity this Easter to wrestle with the question, do I believe everything the history books are telling me that Jesus really did rise from the dead? And if I do, have I responded to it? If you are like, I think I need to talk about that, I would love to talk with you after the service today. If you don't think you can chat today, stick around, because you've got ham you need to pull out of the oven. You can always send an email to info@nvcmd. Come on, you're going to make me do the dance move. info@nvcmd.org. See, y'all remember it now. See? I would like to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, just take a moment. If you already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day to just affirm that. Praise God that, hey, you know what? Jesus did something for me, and that is why I'm here. That moves and guides my life today. Praise God. And just give him thanks as we are going to close with one more song. Maybe you're in a place where you're struggling. Man, I thought Jesus loved me, but I'm in this terrible place in my life. And I'm just unconfident about all that stuff. I would encourage you to reach out to somebody. Find a friend. Find somebody who has a relationship with God and ask them to help give you some perspective on your issues. If you're struggling with something, get some help. You can reach out to me at info@nvcmd.org, and maybe we can have a conversation about the issues and how God may be able to come along and walk with you if we open up our doors to him. Maybe you didn't have a relationship with God before you came here, and you're like, what the heck is all this? Take a moment, and as we sing the last song, just for a moment go, what if it's true? What if it is true? Why are all these kooky people here today? Why are we all here today? Because Jesus of Nazareth walked out of a tomb 1,989 years ago and changed human history. Look at history since that happened. It has altered the course. That's why we're here today. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you for loving us. I'd like to be able to proclaim, we love you, you're so good. But the reality is, we're here today because you loved us first. We're grateful. Thank you for loving us, pursuing us, despite some of the nonsensical things we do. You love us and you pursue us and you desire and want a relationship with us. God, help us celebrate today. Help us celebrate what it is that you did almost 2,000 years ago, changing human history. More importantly for everybody here today, you changed us. You opened the door that we can have a relationship with you and our Father in heaven because of what you did on the cross and demonstrating your power and authority by walking out of that tomb. Praise God.